Romans chapter 8, verse number 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, the whole creation, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. Hope in the Bible is not Tinkerbell, when you wish upon a star, makes no difference where you are, whatever. Okay, that is not hope. Hope in the Bible is a confident expectation. I know what's coming, but it's not here yet. I'm hoping for that. It's not wishing it'll happen. Okay, the word is just completely been, I'll blame it on Disney, okay? We don't use it today the way it's used in the Bible. I'm not correcting the Bible, I'm correcting us. Okay, we have a confident expectation. We are saved by hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, why did he yet hope for it? It's already here. He's not expecting it. It's here. But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise. Okay? Likewise. So the whole thought is continuing. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now that's point three in the message, but I got to stop and say this. I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm trying to make you think. We weren't talking about praying, right? In the text, but he says the Spirit itself, we don't even know what to pray for as well. He says, y'all don't know how this applies to praying, but it does. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with, say the next word, which cannot be uttered. I'm preaching this morning on the glory of groaning. Now, I don't think anybody here thinks groaning. If you walked into Morris's room, he was doing well last night. He said when he got there Friday night, he was not. If you walk into somebody's room and you hear them before you see them going down the hospital hall, a moan, a groan, that's not a good thing. But my Bible in Romans chapter 8 tells me that groaning is a good thing. Now, I didn't realize it till just 3 seconds ago. I promise you, I'm preaching to more than one this morning who in your spirit, you're not outward with it, you're groaning. And God's going to show you from his book this morning that that's a good thing. And what good is going to come out of it, okay? I'd like to encourage you to say amen by faith. I'm expecting you to help me, Lord. Amen. You ever walk into an office of any kind, financial, medical, whatever, mental, and you're like, everybody else has told me they got help here. I'm coming here looking for help. I'm encouraging you to come to this passage looking for help with a confident hope, a confident expectation. Y'all are going, I know what I'm getting ready to tell you from God's word, and you're like, we'll get as excited as you if you'll just tell us, okay? I'm excited. You got to see this. Now, I'm going to give you the conclusion first, because I get so wrapped up in a message, 9 times out of 10, I never give y'all the conclusion. That is God's truth. I get home and I go, I didn't tell them that. And I hope you're still getting something, but I don't want you to miss this one, okay? So here, listen to this. Groaning is glorious because creation, that's verse 22, and Christians, that's verse 23, are groaning and longing for what has already been promised by God. That's why groaning is a glorious thing. All you're longing for and moaning for and groaning for is what he's already promised you. So that's a good thing. That lets me know, that lets him know that I want it that bad. The groaning of the Spirit is groaning. Look at verse number 27. And I hope I say this at the end, but I am liable to forget it. Look at, this is so good. Look at the last two lines of verse number 27. The Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. We don't know how to pray. And I'm not, the song was wonderful. I've shouted and cried and gone to the altar on that song. The song is wonderful and He hears our prayers. But I am glad when it leaves here, before it gets to the throne room, the sweet Holy Ghost of God has fixed it. You ever wrote out something, a contract, a will, a plan for something, and a smarter person than you, let's say an attorney or an accountant or one of them, they said, oh no, if you present that, you're going to get shot down. Let me fix it for you. That is not how you want to ask for that. I know. Y'all, this is good. I know Him, and if you ask Him that way, He's going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash can. Let me fix this for you. I know Him, and I know how He wants to hear your question. And I'm not talking about God being some ogre who's manipulative. I'm just saying He is holy, and I'm a mess. And I am so glad the Holy Spirit yanks those prayers on the way up and goes, I have got to fix that. Because He's asking for something He's going to consume upon His own lust. That's Bible right there. And the Holy Spirit goes, let me fix that before the... Let me fix that before it gets to the throne room. Right? And He's God Himself. So if He's doing that for me, I know my prayer is going to be heard because the Holy Spirit is interceding according to the will of God. Now, everybody's going, but I asked for this and the Lord didn't do it. We know not how to pray for as we ought. That mess that we uttered may have not been what made it to the throne room. The Holy Spirit fixed it, okay? And I love it when I ask for a parking space. I ask for ones at the back of the mall, at the back of the parking lot. She asks for ones at the front, okay? We always see who's got the better prayer life. The truth of the matter is, between here and the throne room, the Holy Spirit throws both of them out and said, y'all ain't neither one got any sense. Okay, we're looking at three groanings. I hope it'll help you. Here we go. Verse 22 is creation groaning. Verse 23 is Christians groaning. Verse number 26 is the comforter, for sake of illustration, the comforter groaning. Let's look at creation groaning. Look at verse 22. For we know that the, would you say the next word? Creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. When the Bible, when He said whole, did He mean whole? Absolutely. Now you're going, preacher Ames, what on earth does that mean? Well, let me give you a couple examples. Hold your place. Go to Isaiah chapter number 11. Isaiah chapter number 11. Quickly, you don't want to miss this. The rest of it is deeper. The rest of it is more spiritual. But this will just bless your socks off right here. It's so amazing. Isaiah chapter 11. Creation is groaning. Do you want to know what creation is groaning for? To be restored to what God originally intended it to be. Listen to your preacher. Adam and Eve, Miss Beverly, you'll like this one. Adam and Eve communed with those animals. So don't feel bad for talking to your chickens. Y'all with me? Dad talked to his cows, and he never used bad words, but I ain't going to share what he said to him. Okay, come on now, y'all help me a little bit. I'm going to give y'all some B12. Creation is groaning and longing to be restored to what God intended it to be 6,000 years ago, and it's going to be. It is going to be. Okay, Balaam, that donkey talking to him, that didn't strain God. All God did was loose his tongue. Everything's been put under a curse. And God's going to release all that. And creation knows it. So let's look at how it's going to be in the millennial reign of Christ. Look in chapter 11, verse 6 of Isaiah. The wolf shall lay down with the lamb, the leopard with the kid, the calf and the young lion and a fatling together. A little child, Okay, one of these little girls will take all of these, what we call wild animals, and lead them around. You say, Brother Raines, that's a figment of your imagination. No, that's what God created and intended for it to be. Okay, look at verse number 7. Cow and the bear. Does that blow your mind? We live in a part of the country with bear, right? Have you ever seen a bear and a cow fellowshipping? The mental picture is ridiculous. That's what God wanted with his creation. All of this fighting and backbiting that goes on in churches. Oh, you preacher, you're not going there. I sure am. That's not what God intended. Other than just a very, very few animals that have been what we call domesticated, other than a very few of them, what is the natural response between us and the animal kingdom? Fear. Attack if possible. I mean, great day in the, y'all know where we live in the woods and anything's liable to roam through. I saw three things Friday morning I've never seen in my life. There was a black one, a white one, and one that, look, ladies, that white and black checkered look, I call it not ham bone, not herring bone, Chevrolet, Chevron, Pontiac, what? There was a white one and a black one and one with gray and white checks, okay? I guess he'd been to the men's store or something. They looked like guineas, but they weren't guineas walking through my yard. Somebody tell me what those were. They're just happy as they could be. But you run up onto something in the woods, and, buddy, that back bristles, hair stands up, and if they can't get out, they're coming after you. Right? Ask Natalie about raccoons when they're cornered, or was it a possum? Y'all follow me? I'm in the book, and a cow and a bear are going to go to lunch together. That's what the Bible says. Okay, their young ones shall lie down together. Lion will eat straw like an ox. A sucking child, in that context, they nursed significantly longer than done today. Probably 2-3 years old is playing by the den of a poisonous, what today is a poisonous snake. And the child is there. The weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Look at 9. They'll not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Here's what one author said. I hope it helps you as much as it did me. Creation is not undergoing death pangs. Creation is undergoing birth pangs. The tree huggers, the environmental worshipers, okay, all that mess. They see volcanoes and they see droughts and they see floods and they see a drought followed by a flood and all of this madness going on. And Brother Johnny Jones, who I think everybody in here respects his Bible knowledge as much as anybody that we know, he texted me a few weeks ago on his Sunday morning devotion and he said, you used to hear of 2 or 3 or 4 cataclysmic catastrophes a year. He said, now it's weekly or more. I don't think that's an exaggeration. What is going on? And obviously, and then they tell us it's because you ladies are using hairspray. That's dumb. They worship it, and so that's all they have to fall back on is something that's just utterly ridiculous. It is the whole creation groaning and travailing, waiting to be delivered from the bondage that it's in and have the liberty that it once had when there was no sin anywhere around. That's what creation is wanting to take place. Now, the inanimate objects, I don't know how to explain all those. I will tell you there's a verse in Psalms that says the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now, that's obviously a literary term where he's just painting a very beautiful picture for us. But if all creation is groaning and travailing, I'm just going to take God at his word, let God be true and every man a liar. Every bit of the creation is longing for Jesus to come and rule and reign the way it was 6,000 years ago. So let me stop preaching and go to meddling. Everybody in this room would do real well to let Jesus rule and reign in your life today so that when he sets up his earthly kingdom, nothing changes for you. Jesus on the throne ought to just be the most normal thing in the world for a Bible-believing Christian in North Carolina in September of 2022. You say, Brother Raines, I don't know if that's possible. I just don't know if that's possible. We got the book. We got the rule book. Amen. So creation is groaning and travailing. Here's my R word, waiting to be restored. Look at verse number 23, back to Romans 8. Quickly, Romans chapter 8, verse number 23. Not only they, creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, would you say the next word? Within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our, please say that last word, the redemption of our body. Okay? I want to make two applications here. Look at verse number 23, the adoption, waiting for the adoption. Go back to verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. You've received the spirit of, say it, whereby we cry, what? You know what Abba means? Papa. It is, and it's the most, and according to my study and my teaching that I've received, it is the most endearing term that a child could use for a father figure. And when the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you are no longer afraid of God. You're reaching up to Him saying, Papa. I heard a preacher say this years ago. He's already gone off the rails, but you can get truth from anybody, I reckon. He said this. He said, have you ever thought what our hands lifted up looks like to God? Grandparents will appreciate this. He said, when a child walks up to you and does this, is that what our hands lifted in praise looks like to a holy God? I say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that. If that does to Him what Fletcher and all the rest of them, sorry, I named the boy first. I love my granddaughter, say amen right there, okay? If this, Brother Youngblood, does to him what one of those little ones crawling up to me and doing this with their, if that does to him what that does to me, he got a whole lot of blessing this morning. Maybe we could have given him more. Somebody said it about the testimonies. They're not for you. Sometimes I just want to go on record and let everybody know God's been good to me. But truthfully, Brother David, I want to bless my fellow brothers and family in the church. And I want God to know I am head over heels in love with Him. You say, well, He knows that. He knows your heart. He already knows you does. She knows I love her, but she wants me to say it. Everybody say amen. Y'all, you ladies will appreciate this. She is washing dishes the other day. I went through the kitchen. I was working on something. I was doing this. I think some of you know where this is going. And later on, she said, can I say something? We start our conversation so oddly after 38 years. I mean, you know, why don't just say it? But we go, can I say something? We're kind of like tossing our hat and going, is this a safe time to say something? If she throws the hat back, then, you know, just, wait. Okay. She said, can I say something? I said, absolutely, say on. She said, if I'm ever over here washing dishes, she said, it'd be just fine if you walked up behind me and kissed me right there on the neck and put your arms around me. I said, well, yeah, I like that. She knows I love her. She wants me to tell her and she wants me to show her. Everybody all right? Are you listening to me? Are you making notes? This qualifies as premarital counseling. Don't walk by your wife in the kitchen if she's at the sink. Y'all are blushing. What are you blushing for? For heaven's sake. Are you making notes? Okay. Don't use them anytime soon. All right. I do it because I want Him to know how much I love Him. But here's what I want you to get. Why are we groaning? Creation knows what they had before the fall, right? Why are we groaning? Oh, I was hoping y'all would ask that. Go to verse 23. And not only they, creation, but ourselves also, which have the, say the next four words. As messed up as I am, as broken as I am, as carnal as I am, as prone to wonder I am, there is inside of me is a holy God who gives me a foretaste of glory divine and the first fruits of the Spirit. There is a little bit of heaven living inside of you. Everybody all right? There is a whole lot of God living inside of you. How many of you ever been to the emergency room or the hospital with a critically ill loved one? Let me see your hand. How many of you have experienced the peace of God that passed all understanding and a song when everybody said there's nothing to sing about? Right? Y'all, that's God. That's God. That's not thinking good thoughts. That's not feeling good vibes. That was God. The Monday after the rally, Brother Barton did his drive time thing, and he said, did y'all see about the weather? Two or three different storms came within a mile of that spot, some closer than a mile, and stopped. He said, did y'all see the weather? He said, did y'all see this? Did y'all see that? And everything he said, he'd say, God did that. Did y'all see this? God did that. Did y'all see? When some of y'all was testifying earlier, I didn't want to interrupt you. I started to say, look for God's hand in every area of your life. I'm telling you, grocery store, hardware store, job, family, look for God's hand in your life, because I promise you it's there. And the reason we are groaning is because we have the first fruits of the Spirit. We got a foretaste of glory divine, and we know what it's like to walk in the world but not be of the world. And we know what it's like to be tethered, if you will, on the other side. And things that just, Miss Kim said it best. I love the way she expresses herself. She said this was 3 years ago. She said a situation came up and we got through it. She said, and I looked back on it and said, that wasn't me. That's not how I used to respond to things like that. And she said, God did that in me. The more you let God work in your life and you enjoy those first fruits of the Spirit, the more you will want to be delivered from this rotten flesh. When a preacher, singer, speaker, you name it, is full of themselves, I don't sit there and go, I'll bet he's lost. No, I sit there and go, you're full of yourself because you're not full of God. If you had a clear, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, God had already been using Isaiah. That wasn't Isaiah's call to the ministry. Isaiah fell on the ground and said, woe is me, I am undone, I am a man of unclean lips. You see somebody all full of themselves and trying to start a parade for themselves. Never been more awkward in my life than listen to Brother Michael teach about the responsibilities of the church to the man of God. And he did a fantastic job. But you see somebody who's wanting to draw people after themselves, Acts chapter 20, they ain't been close to God. You get close to God and you're like, oh my goodness, the best I've got to offer you is what Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I wouldn't even ask you to do that if God didn't tell me to. The first fruits of the Spirit. Let me illustrate it this way. Michael, I'm going to say June. When do y'all get the first tomatoes? June-ish? There we go. He's got it down to middle of June, 4th of July. You're getting your first ones. When they come in here with that first basket of tomatoes, does anybody get a tingle? I know Emily does. Okay, she's like, honey, bring on the grilled cheese. We slicing a big old hunk of tomato and putting it on there. Does anybody get excited when they come in there with that one? Does anybody get mournfully sad when those boxes start getting smaller and smaller? I'm like, Lord, breathe on them. Breathe on them. Here's what I'm saying. When that first little basket comes in here third Sunday in June, what do we call that? Somebody tell me. Does that make you want more? You follow me? But the little things God does, the times he's come through, and you're like, man didn't do that. Nobody but God could have done that. That is the first fruits, and God forbid, here's what independent Baptists do. We go, shazam. That was amazing. Thank you, God. I'll call on you the next time I need you. Let's all give an invitation right now. Right? And God's going, there's more. That peace I can give you, overwhelming, that will flow out of you on somebody else. And we're doing the, who knows what Brill cream is? Me and Miss Youngblood. A little dab will do you. They used to grease their hair, and then it got popular to have it look a little more dry. And Brill cream did a commercial back in the 60s. I am old. And their slogan was, a little dabble do you. God don't need any little dabble do you, Christians. I'll never forget 12 years ago, my first year here, had a wonderful, wonderful Sunday morning service. Just sweet, just precious, just amazing. All afternoon, I couldn't wait to get back. We got back here for that evening service, and I think there's maybe 30 of us. And I looked at Breck Landreth, and I said, where are they? He said, preacher, around here, a lot of people's got little dabble, do you? I said, this morning was so good, I couldn't wait to get back. He said, me either. He said, that'll do them for the next few weeks. The first fruits ought to make you want more. Say, Brother Raines, you're putting me under legalism. No. I'm just telling you what God will do in your hearts. If I just breeze by Autumn Lane 2 or 3 times a year and say, how you doing? How's it going? Got any of that? Adam's? She does a killer chicken pot pie. Got any of those chicken pot pie? She said, no. That's how some of us treat God. Amen or oh me. Brother David, I hadn't said this in a year. I'm preaching good. I'm preaching truth. I'm preaching truth. Okay? The first fruits ought to make us want more. Let me tell you something. The Christian is longing to be. Creation wants to be restored. The Christian wants to be released from the bondage of this earthen vessel. In verse number 15, we had the spirit of adoption. In verse number 23, we're waiting to be adopted. There's a difference. And I don't know if this is the perfect illustration, but it'll help us get the understanding of that. If there was an orphanage, and they called one of the kids out, and they said, here's all the paperwork, you've been adopted. But your family is coming from the other side of the country, and it's going to take him a while to get here. How should that child live? I'm not being ugly. Bless the Lord. As an adopted kid or an orphan? Say it. Is he adopted? He just hadn't been picked up. Miss Shelley, you're not an orphan. Chris, you're not an orphan. You've been adopted. You're his. Now, all he could do was send the first fruits. But that was the Holy Spirit. That was real good. So I don't mean any irreverence when I say all he could do. He just physically hadn't come and delivered me physically. Right? Waiting to wit the redemption of my... Here's what I heard a preacher 3 weeks ago say this. And it made me laugh, but boy, it made the point. He said, your hair didn't get saved. And now he's probably my age. He said, because if it had, it wouldn't have turned gray. Right? And then he said, your hair didn't get saved because if it had, it wouldn't have fallen out. And he started naming other bodily ailments. He said, God didn't save this. This is lost. You say, oh, God don't care about your body. Did you know that was a doctrine back in the day, 2,000 years ago, that God didn't care anything about the body? So that's when they said, here's how they abused it because of our wicked mind. Do what you want to with your body because God don't care about your body. He saved your soul. There's only one problem with that. It's called 1 Thessalonians. He saved your soul, so you let this body show what he's doing on the inside. That's called a testimony. That's not legalism. That's not bondage. That's, I'm a child of the... Do you think that kid who got told he was adopted acted any different that night at the supper table? I would. I hope he was kind and gentle and sweet. I hope he didn't run down anybody. I hope he said, hang in there. You're going to get adopted too. I hope he is right about it. I hope he wasn't haughty and care. But he's already adopted. He just hadn't been picked up yet. And boy, every day that he was waiting, don't you know he walked to that window and looked outside? Boy, I'm guilty here. I don't look for his coming like I ought to. I don't. It's my fault. It's wrong. But I so desperately, Seth, want to be a contented Christian that I don't let myself long for home the way I ought to. Mama, I love you. You probably long for home as much as anybody I know. And she's got a good life. She's got a great man, an amazing daughter, pretty awesome son-in-law. Right? We ain't had an ill word. 38 years plus. She longs for home. I want to. I want this world to know God's been good to me and I'm a happy Christian. But Amy, I've done reached that place, Brother Ames. I think I got more on the other side than I got here. We've sent a lot to the other side, not just people. Are y'all with me? Longing to be released from the bondage of this. Does your sin nature grieve you? On the basis of the earlier verses in Romans chapter 8, if it doesn't, can I ask you to check up and make sure you're born again? I'm being biblical. Longing, yearning to be on the other side and walking. Most of us walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit. Saved people walk after the Spirit. Can a saved man walk in rebellion? Absolutely. But they're going to be miserable. I get scared to death when somebody says, yeah, I was saved 40 years ago. Ain't walked with God, ain't read my Bible, don't care about church. Don't care. 30, 40 years, you know, this happened. And I'm like, and there's no misery inside? Brother John, something ought to be desperately wrong. Something ought to be desperately wrong. Yearning to be released. And then look at this last one. Oh, my goodness, what a blessing it is. Look at verse number 26. Groaning. Creation's groaning. You ought to be groaning. Look at 26. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought. We should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with, which cannot be uttered. Please don't argue with me if you see it a little bit differently. Church, there may have been times you were in the altar and you couldn't utter your words. And you were thrilled that God, the Holy Ghost, took your prayer and took it to the Father. The one groaning in that verse is the Spirit. Grammatically, there's no other application. The Holy Spirit is the one groaning. And why? Why? Why Ben? Why David? Why John? Why Fred? Because I don't even know what to pray for as I ought. And the Holy Ghost takes my feeble effort to express myself to God and groans with me, but better yet, for me before the Father. God, the Holy Ghost, groans with your burdens before the Father. And here's the key, according to the will of God. When you fall on your knees, as the wonderful song said, and you just pour your heart out, the Holy Spirit, my intercessor, my interceder, takes that and groans it out to God. If he was a courier and all he did was deliver it, Billy, that would be wonderful. But he does so much more. He is the one who makes my supplication before God. Here's the final statement. If so, why do we use him so rarely? Why do we give him so little prayer to take to the Father? All you've got to do is, I mean, there's other verses about prayer. I understand that. But if the Holy Spirit is ready and waiting to take your request and her request, and his request before the Father, why don't we avail ourselves of that? Imagine I've heard in royalty the word viceroy. My understanding is that was the one who did the beckoning of the king. Why have somebody there ready and willing to take everything you need and present it to somebody who's got the power to do something about it and live as a orphan, pauper? Why? A lot of reasons. Pride, right? Pride, self-sufficiency. Can I share a personal one and y'all not fall out with me? Brokenhearted at the times he maybe said no or didn't answer the way I thought he would. Who am I? The family we're taking up the offering for. And y'all know that that's just this huge, mind-blowing story right now, but they still need our help and our love. But in those days before he was in ICU, his wife would do little, would turn the live on, and he would say to everybody out there who's praying for me, God's good, and everything God does is right. I don't know what he's doing, but God is good, and he's right, and you can trust Jesus. And then, and Marty, then he'd go, and now I want to lead everybody in prayer. And they'd all bow their heads, and he'd say, God, you're good. You can't be anything but good. You can't do anything but good because you are good. He said, oh, that's easy to say then. Oh, no, they had full understanding that they had way more questions than they had answers. If God the Holy Ghost is waiting and willing and able to make groanings before the Father with my needs, and everything he asks for is going to be according to the will of God, why don't I use him more than I do? And I hope use does not offend you. Why don't I avail myself of that? Creation groans. Christians groan, wanting to be released from this body. The Spirit groans for me. God, help me. God, if you don't need any help in your prayer life, please ask the Lord to help your preacher to grow in that area. One man said it this way, every failure in life can be traced back to a failure in the area of prayer. It's the most arrogant thing in the world for a Christian to attempt something without praying. Brother Cam, sitting in a hospital room 4 months ago, Cam said, preacher, tell everybody you get this, what I'm about to tell you. He said, help somebody with it. He said, I have made numerous decisions over the last several years without consulting God. He said, and I've suffered the consequences of that. He said, no, I don't see. He said, my leg, my wife's cancer. He said, I'm not calling any of that punishment from God. He said, God has used all that to work in my life. He said, please tell the general. Here's what he said, Christian. He called your name. He called your name. I think he called yours. He said, tell the generation come along behind me, pray about everything they do. And I'm thinking, I hope I have and am. And then he said, you told me as my pastor. He said, but I was self-willed. That's what he said. Billy, it's what he said. He said, I was self-willed. He said, challenge that generation come along with me to seek God in all their ways. Acknowledge God. Thank you, church, for listening.